Patrick Bet-David is not the dumbest guy out there, and that's because Bryce Mitchell is alive and breathing. This episode is pretty old, but I never heard anybody talk about it at all, which is weird considering how popular the MMA is, and this guy apparently is a MMA fighter. I don't watch UFC or any of that stuff. But he thinks the Earth is flat, and I've only seen like about 1 minute of this video, but that was enough to be able to see that Bryce clearly has no clue how anything works. Bryce is a real flat earther because he just literally doesn't understand things. The fake flat earthers, the grifters, like I've talked about, they either avoid saying anything at all, or whatever they say is just a clever way of just completely avoiding taking any accountability or making claims or whatever, or pretending not to make any claims. Bryce, though, Bryce is the real deal. But we're going to pick on Patrick first, because listen to what he says in the opening. This is his problem with flat Earth.
Little, you know, what do you call it? You call it a globe, or you spin it? What would you call that, Rob? Is that a globe?
Yeah, that's a globe.
A globe, okay. And we all had it when we were kids, right? I mean, if I had to give them a flat Earth globe, it's a little bit disappointing to them if I gave it to them, right? They would be heartbroken. They would say, Dad, I want it to be round because it's like a ball. It's exciting. You know, you can kick it if it breaks. There's things you can do with it.
How did this guy make any money? So his problem with the Earth being flat is that if he gave his kids a flat Earth globe, it wouldn't be fun. I've never heard this guy say anything that even remotely makes me go,
Why are you so obsessed with removing this incredible experience for kids away and telling them it's flat? Why would you do that to them?
Well, the good news is that the firmament is circular. It's spherical. So that's good. They can hold on to that. The idea, I'm going to break it down as simple as possible.
Okay.
They can convince you that the Earth is 13 billion years old. It come out of the Big Bang, and we evolved from monkeys. There's no need for God. When you realize that the Earth is an enclosed system, there's a firmament over it, just like the Bible says, and that the sun and the moon are the exact same size, and that they circle the Earth, you're going to realize something intelligent put that here for life on this planet to flourish.
It's so incredibly funny how the majority of flat earthers say everything that the young Earth creationists say. But then they say this, and the creationists just think that what they're saying is stupid and wrong and a bastardization and a mistranslation of the text, so on and so forth. But yet, they're on the same team. Funny enough, Will Duffy is a young Earth creationist. He really has never put out content before this final experiment thing, but I did see there's like a statement of faith or something from the church that he's a pastor in, has a website, and it's on there, and it just really clearly lays out all the dumb typical creationist stuff. So, hey, Will, maybe we should do a final experiment with you where we prove that no, radiometric dating does work, and that genetics incontrovertibly does show that we're most closely related to the other great apes. I do wonder, I see creationists going after the flat earthers, like Answers in Genesis has gone after them before, but they don't spend a lot of time and energy on it. I wonder if it's going to become a thing where creationists are battling with flat earthers more than they are battling with, you know, people that advocate secular scientific ideas such as myself. That would be great, just to sit back and watch them go to war with each other. Oh, man.
And I'm telling you what it is. It's God. God created everything perfect on this planet. And by the way, the Earth...
No, nothing's perfect on this planet.
Don't move. The Earth don't rotate.
Yes,
everything
it does.
In the sky rotates around the Earth.
No.
Okay, and people don't understand what flat Earth is or why it's important. I'm telling you, because as a Christian, you should know what God's creation looks like.
Right, so I kind of already said this, but it's the exact same stuff that creationists like Kent Hovind and Ken Ham say. Evolution, I won't even be specific. Blank was inserted to push us away from God. That's actually something that I tackle in my book. That's one of the claims in my first book. Blank was invented to push us away from God because it was a non-specific claim. Grayson sort of did this with Kent Hovind. He said, look, Kent, all of the flat earthers who you think are in a cult say these specific things, and what you say, it's copy and paste the exact same thing. We just take out shape of the Earth and insert evolution. isn't it humiliating and embarrassing to you that you think in exactly the same way that a flat earther thinks? And I don't know what the creationist does except assert that they are correct, and it, because they're, I don't know, the only thing they can really do, I mean, they can appeal to their interpretation of what scripture says about the shape of the earth. They can do that, but the funnier and more ironic thing is how they appeal to secular science, and they do the truth is that which corresponds to reality thing, and empirical science tells us about the true shape of the earth, and that's how we figure out that fact about the natural world. But for the other things that we don't like, nope, evidence be damned, we're going with our interpretation of scripture. It's just so incredibly ironic.
And if you go to the Bible, over five times it says very clearly, this ain't the word of Bryce, this is the word of God, the earth shall not be moved. So I'm telling you, earth don't spin, it don't rotate, it don't orbit.
Yeah, that's how we know that the Bible is false.
The earth is stationary, it's huge, it's covered by a dome. And all the things that, all the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, which is actually differentiated in the Bible. NASA don't differentiate the sun and stars. They tell you that they're the same thing.
Because they are. So going back to what I said earlier, I wouldn't say that that's actually how you falsify the Bible or anything like that. You know, funny enough, even in my book, I took the claim in the flat earth section, the Bible says the earth is flat, and I argued, no, it really doesn't. But I heard Dan McClellan recently put out a TikTok video, and at first I was like, this has to be rage bait. But he says, no, the Bible pretty clearly is a flat earth book. And I thought, damn. And his description of the dome and the surface of the earth and Sheol below it. I mean, he laid out that the people that originally wrote like those oldest stories and depictions of the earth, they really did think that. And that's, I don't know. I wouldn't say I've really changed my mind on it. But I can believe that some of those people that wrote some of those earliest stories or passed down those earliest stories did think that.
The sun is not a star. The stars are not suns. Okay, I'm just telling you. That's why the stars twinkle and the sun don't. Okay, because they're totally different things. But anyways, all these...
No explanation. So why do stars twinkle? If you've ever looked at the bottom of a pool, you notice that the surface of it, like from the... Not while you're in the water, but from above the water... You notice that the surface gets distorted, and that's because the surface of the water has waves in it, and then the light bends in weird ways when it goes into the water. Well, the atmosphere is in turbulence, I guess we could say, because it's quite thick and it has gases at different densities and different temperatures and whatever. The stars are really small points of light, so they twinkle because their light can basically kind of get squashed as the light coming through the atmosphere gets bent. And so it produces that kind of flickering or distorting sort of wavy effect. Planets don't do that. Flat earthers argue, I don't know, they try to use that as, I don't know how this is an argument. Planets don't twinkle, but stars do. Therefore, the earth is flat. I don't know what that's all about. But planets are... The points in the sky kind of all sort of look the same size, but they really, really aren't. The planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, Mars, the ones we can see from here, are way bigger in angular resolution than the stars are. So they don't twinkle.
Heavenly bodies rotate around the earth, and the earth was made for the image of God, humans, to have domain over everything. And if they can convince you that we come from the Big Bang and the earth is 9 billion years old, you know, that's all hogwash, but if they can convince you that, then you won't believe in God.
Then why do the vast majority of Christians not think the earth is flat? Like, I get, yeah, we got to see Christians battling Christians on this issue. I've seen young earth creationists and old earth creationists debate. I don't find that particularly entertaining, but flat, like, I want to see a hardcore young earth creationist flat earther debate a hardcore young earth creationist not flat earther. That would just be, it'd be so funny. It would be the Spider-Man meme, and it, because the arguments they would use, they're the exact same. That would be hilarious.
It's that simple. I know, because I thought we come from monkeys until I found out that evolution's all a scam. So basically, the world is about 6,000 years old, just like the Bible says. And it has a firmament, just like the Bible says. And I mean, it's...
Let's go through a couple of things. Okay, so basic questions people will ask. I mean, I've gone through this with many friends, but we'll just kind of do it here together. So, okay, Bryce, so what happens if I drive to the end? Do I fall off? What's around it at the end, right? What does it look like physically?
I don't know what he's going to say, but the cop-out answer typically is nobody knows, and maybe it goes on forever.
You want to pull up the picture, Rob? We've seen the flat Earth model.
Yeah, let's see it.
If you can pull that up, which one would you want to?
Okay, so there's not space around it really like that, but that circular right there, that's what it is. But the sun and the stars, they're not like, it wouldn't look like that. They're in the firmament. But basically, there's an ice wall, and it's illegal to drive to the edge, brother. I wish that we could, but we can't go to Antarctica legally.
No, that's just not true. And he needs to be talked to after the final experiment, because they went. It was perfectly...
Basically, there's an ice wall around the whole world, and we're not allowed to go to it, literally. If you went over there, they just...
Not literally.
...arrest you.
No.
And that's because they don't want people to know that the world is surrounded by a 200-foot-tall ice wall. And that's what we call Antarctica. So all of this stuff is really mind-blowing when you think about it, but it's important to know.
How about when you talk to all these satellites, okay, and you go up and they take pictures. Hey, what does it look like? Many have been interviewed. I had one guy that I had on, and he had broke the record for living in space for the longest time. I mean, he lived 250-something days. What does it look like? It's round, okay? You know, satellites out there, mm-hmm. You know, maps, the way we can drive around is because of satellites. When you go... You do math.
They just say nuh-uh weather balloons, which the funny thing about that, I've never heard anybody bring this up, is you can't control the path of the balloon, so you can't guarantee that you have access to those satellites, whereas if they're orbiting, we know exactly what where they're going to be, when they're going to be there, how long it takes them to go up, so we know exactly how many we need to make, so that you can always have like either a satellite above your sky or triangulate your position. And like balloons, I mean, they'd be at the mercy of winds, and winds form, how do I say this? Winds would cause them to sort of collect in to narrow bands, kind of like trash in the ocean accumulates in certain places. So it's just...
MapQuest, or you do maps on Google Maps, or, you know, Apple Maps. It's round. Satellites up there. That's how we're able to do what we do. What do you say to that when all these satellites are out there in space helping us do a lot of things that we do?
Okay, so satellites, here's the thing, is that there are some satellites that are on balloons, and it's that simple. They hover up to about 120,000, 130,000 feet, and they're on balloons. That's why NASA is the number one user of helium in the world. NASA controls 99% of the helium supply. What they're doing is they're taking satellites, filling up balloons with helium, and hooking satellites to these balloons. They float up about 120,000, 130,000 feet. That's as high as a balloon's going to go. Now, let me tell you the contrary. If you believe in satellites, that they're actually in space, then you believe that there's about 50,000 or 100,000 satellites traveling around at 17,500 miles an hour.
Yep.
Now, can you...
You can Google where the ISS is going to be, and you can see it through a telescope ahead of time. Well, you can Google where it's going to be ahead of time and then look through it.
You know, a bullet don't even travel that fast. Do you really think, my brother, do you really believe that there are 50...
So here we go. Big numbers scary, me no want believe.
50,000 satellites in space right yep. now, 100 miles up in the air, traveling around the planet, faster than a bullet. They don't need maintenance. They don't need a fuel source. There's...
Correct, because an object in motion will stay in motion.
No other proof of them.
That is something I just... this is how you know you're dealing with a real flat earther, because they say stuff that they just obviously don't know anything. Because if I was trying to lie, I wouldn't say that, because it would never cross my mind to say something that stupid. They don't understand that something moving through space doesn't need propulsion to keep moving, because it's space and there's no friction. They just... it's the first law of motion, and they forget it.
Other than NASA says that they're there. Do you really believe that? I'm telling you that nothing in the world can travel 20,000 miles an hour continuously with no fuel source. I'm telling you, we can't even get something to fly that fast, let alone do it with no fuel source, and they're not hitting into each other and blowing up.
They have... they... oh, this is so funny. So I don't know how many boats there are in the ocean at any one time, but I bet it's pretty close to that. And do boats run into each other? Yes, occasionally. But if all boats were allowed to move around the entire ocean just randomly, because they're not in random places, they're highly concentrated in just a few places, how often do you think boats would run into each other? It would be extraordinarily rare. Now, but they would run into each other every now and then, right? Who knows what the rate would be. But in space, we have all these different dimensions. So it would be more analogous, although it's even crazier than this, it would be more analogous to there are 50,000 submarines in the ocean, and they're moving in random directions. Now, because the oceans on average are miles deep, the odds of anything running into each other would be astronomical. But in space, you have more than 2 miles of vertical real estate to work with. You have, like, literally hundreds of miles to work with.
I mean, think about it. You're traveling 20,000 miles an hour. That's faster than a lot of bullets, okay? If you so much as hit a piece of dust, you're going to kaboom because of this.
No! No! Okay, if you shot a satellite on the ground with a bullet, would it explode? No. I Googled this because I don't know it, but a 9mm bullet weighs 147 grains, which is 9.5 grams. A speck of dust is going to weigh hundreds of times less than that. So even though it's going much faster than the bullet, up to like 20 times faster, it doesn't have the kinetic energy to make it explode. Even a micrometeorite, something you could see with the naked eye, that still wouldn't have enough kinetic energy to make it explode. I mean, the thing would have to be going... the thing would have to be going hundreds and hundreds of thousands of meters per second. You know what? I'm going to do the math right now. A stick of dynamite would explode a car or a satellite. So we're working with about 2.1 million joules. Okay, this is Google math, so take it with a grain of salt. But the maximum speed for satellites that I found was actually like about 28,000 kilometers per hour. We're going to round that up to 30,000, which is a little over 8,000 meters per second. A micrometeorite at 10 grams would have to be going at over 20,000 meters per second to have 2.1 million joules. That makes perfect sense. 10 grams, 20,000. That's ChatGPT physics. I'm just going to have to assume that that's true. So the speeds and energies are nothing like what he's saying, but I'm also not convinced that just because it has that much energy that the result would be when it hits something, it explodes. I'm pretty certain it would still just pass through the object.
The speed at which you're going. So you're telling me that 100,000 or 50,000 satellites are in orbit 20,000 miles an hour and they haven't hit a piece of dust and they're not falling back to Earth all the time? No, brother, let me tell you the truth. These satellites are on balloons and that's why you can go...
They do fall back sometimes. There was that really... a few years ago, there was that big Chinese satellite. They said it was like the size of a school bus, I thought, and it was going to re-enter Earth's atmosphere, and we didn't know where, and it ended up falling into the Pacific Ocean, so it wasn't a big deal.
Right now, and you can pull up a video of a satellite with a balloon attached to it, because when these satellites crash back to Earth, they always have a balloon attached to them. So there is a little bit of satellites going on.
I've never, ever seen that. What I'm guessing might be happening is maybe he saw a picture of something from a launch that had a parachute on it that came back down. And so there you go. If you show somebody a picture of something and you can't tell what it is, but you just tell them, oh, that's a satellite, and that was the balloon it was attached to, boom. All of a sudden they believe it.
Went on in air, but like I said, they don't get no higher than 120, 130,000 feet because that's where balloons stop floating because of density. You know, here's an experiment I want to tell you that absolutely proves that the Earth don't spin.
Rob, what is that? What are you showing?
This is a video of a satellite falling to the ground in Indonesia with a balloon attached.
Oh, maybe Bryce is right. Maybe I'm not a brain-dead, dumb hillbilly. Well, maybe I am, but I'm still right, you know?
Keep going.
That didn't look like anything in particular.
Keep going. So let me tell you 100%. I can say with confidence. I'm not a scientist. No.
Oh, this is the only part of the video I actually saw in advance, apart from the first, like, 20 seconds.
Engineer, but I can tell you a simple experiment that you can undoubtedly prove the Earth don't spin. It involves a helicopter. I made this experiment up myself, okay? So you take a...
Bryce, no, you didn't, because what he says here, this is one of the most commonly parroted things, and I can't believe they say it because of how dumb
helicopter.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You can get up to 15,000 feet. You can sit there and hover. You can hover at 0 miles an hour, literally not go an inch north, south, east, or west. So you hover this helicopter for 4-5 hours at 20,000 feet. Did you know that you can come right back down where you took off?
I have a feeling that this actually stumped Patrick here. So, no, the ground and the air, they're all moving in unison Okay, Bryce. So the here's how you can prove that cars don't move. Get in a car and buy one of those $15 little pocket-sized drones and drive your car down the highway and hover the drone for several minutes inside the car. You will notice that the drone will stay in place. Therefore, cars do not move. Now, Bryce, once you figure out why what I just said is really stupid, you will then, well, you won't, but you won't, but that is the same reason why your argument is stupid. I've heard people like Flatzoid, who I will be debating today if he shows up, say that the atmosphere, they don't use this argument, but they use a very similar argument that the atmosphere violates the laws of physics because we have Velcro air. They say the Earth can't be spinning because, yeah, they get the claim that the atmosphere moves with the Earth, but the farther you go up from the ground, in order for the atmosphere to stay in rotation with the Earth, it has to spin faster than the Earth because that would be a bigger circle. So it has to, you know, complete a, every time it spins one time, it has to go a greater distance. So there's no explanation for what gives the atmosphere extra energy, violates the second law of thermodynamics or whatever. Therefore, the Earth can't be moving. Now, the first part of this is they say Velcro air as if that's like a gotcha, but no, there is such a thing as atmospheric friction. I can't remember. It's not Boyle's law or the, well, I think it might be the Bernoulli principle. I'm not sure, but firefighters know this. They take advantage of this. One of my best friends is a volunteer firefighter. You can take water, and if you jet water, like in order to put out fires in homes, it's a really brilliant and cool technique. They, instead of spraying water into the house, they put a special hose up to a window and they blast water at a really high pressure away from the house. And what that does is that current of air creates a vortex that pulls the air out of the house, taking the oxygen out of the inside of the house and making the flames inside the house go out. So yes, air does have friction. So the spinning Earth would create friction that would drag the atmosphere with it, and the Earth has been spinning for billions of years. The other problem is how flat earthers make claims, but literally don't even try to check them or think about them at all. So let's say the atmosphere goes up. We're going to go crazy and say 100 miles. I mean, it does go up that high, roughly. Half the mass of the atmosphere is concentrated in just the first 18,000 feet. That's it. So I'm being extremely generous to the flat Earth talking point, way more so than I need to be, and it doesn't matter. So that's the radius of Earth, right? So if we just divide these numbers, 100 divided by 3,963, we get a percentage, and then we take that times 100. An extra 100 miles only gives you 2.5% more of a radius of a distance. When you say the atmosphere is farther away, so it would have to spin faster, intuitively that catches you because you're like, wait, yeah, it would have to do that. But what they don't tell you, the dishonesty or the just lack of critical thinking, is how microscopic that difference would actually be. And then the final thing to say about it is the atmosphere doesn't stay put in one area. Like if you have a high pressure system or whatever, throughout the course of a day, the air might not move like hardly at all, but winds and things across the surface of the Earth are always taking place. So the atmosphere doesn't sit still. This is a pretty popular flat Earth meme, and it's kind of the exact same argument. So this is how they say the Earth doesn't move. Oh, the train smokestack goes backwards and the train's only going 20 miles an hour, but the smoke from the volcano doesn't. First of all, what's hilarious is if we look at that plume of smoke, it actually doesn't, like if we look at the middle of it, it actually doesn't line up with the caldera of the volcano. But again, you dumbasses, is the volcano moving? No. Is the train moving? Yes. That's why the smoke from the train does that, because the source producing the smoke is moving.
Now think about the implications of that. That tells you that ground ain't moving. Now, a lot of people are going to say,
he really did stump Patrick on that one.
they're idiots, but they're going to say, oh, well, Bryce, the helicopter has inertia. It has inertia. So it.
Yeah.
The Earth is traveling 1,000 miles an hour.
Well, that's not. I mean, that's kind of the explanation, but I would just say, relatively speaking, because motion is relative, the Earth, the ground, and the air are all going at the same speed. So there's nothing. It's just, again, it's the car thing.
Or no, it's not. Okay, but Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to lie to you. He's of the devil. Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to lie to you and say that the Earth is traveling 1,000 miles an hour. They're going to tell you the Earth spins 1,000 miles an hour. Okay, and so you can do this experiment even on the equator to make it even worse. Okay, where the spin is supposed to be the greatest. So you take that helicopter up in the air. You hover it for 4 or 5 hours at 15,000 feet, and you can go 0 miles an hour. You can go absolutely nowhere. Just hover, and then come right back down on the same helicopter pad that you launched off of. Now, like I said, the critics are going to say, hey, well, Bryce, the helicopter has inertia. So when it takes off, it's already traveling 1,000 miles an hour. You just can't detect it.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I've got to tell you. If you ever run on a track, if me and you are equally fast and I run on the inside and you run on the outside of the track, who wins that race?
You.
Because I'm on the inside.
Sure.
Because you know the further you go out from the center of that circle, the more distance you have to travel to.
Okay, he's getting to the other thing. I want to mention something real quick. To be a little bit fair to Bryce, I had a really long, really frustrating argument with somebody who is very smart and doesn't think the Earth is flat over... They sent me this picture that it was a person standing in a train and then a person standing on top of the train. And it had a caption like, it's weird how if the person in the train jumps, they land where they jumped, but the person on top of the train won't. And I said, no, yes, they do. Like, the only thing that would affect it would be if there was like, if the air resistance pushed on them, which would almost certainly happen if you're on top of a train. But barring that, no, they both do. And we went back and forth on this so much. And again, this person is pretty smart. And it was so frustrating because I just kept telling them, no, the person in the train is going the same speed as the train. So when they jump up, they land where they started because their speed never changes. The person on top of the train is going at the same speed as the train. And I don't know what was going on with them, but for whatever reason, they just thought because the person's on top of the train, they're not connected to the train, and therefore it wouldn't work the same. And I just, it was so frustrating. So anyways, back to the video.
To complete a circle. So what I'm telling you is when that helicopter goes up to 20,000 feet and it's sitting there hovering for 4 hours, not only does it have to spin 1,000 miles an hour, it has to spin more than 1,000 miles an hour to go back to the same spot that it landed.
I gotta do some more math. Okay, here's what we're doing. The circumference of a circle with a radius 4,000 miles, I'm rounding up the radius of Earth, that is 25,133 miles. That is... extremely close to what the circumference of Earth at the equator is. Divided by 24 gives you a speed of 1,047.2 miles per hour. Now, he said the helicopter is 15,000 feet above the ground. 15,000 feet is less than 3 miles, but we're just going to round up to 3 miles and be extra generous. But for the radius, then that would be only 1.5 miles. So now, what about a circle with a circumference... the circumference of a circle with a radius of 4,001.5 miles. That gives us a radius of 25,142 divided by 24 is 1,047.58 miles per hour. The percent difference between those two numbers, a third of a tenth of a percent. They never, ever, ever check their own work. And you can't use the argument, yeah, but it lands in the exact same spot again. Minor differences, like microscopic changes in like winds, which would push it a tiny bit, or just mechanical things with the helicopter not being perfect, would make it land not in the same spot. And you can't differentiate those differences as background noise from the theoretical difference here.
Because now the Earth would be not attached to that helicopter, and so... It's in a different type of rotation. It has to cover more distance to land in the same spot. You see what I'm saying? But how come I can get a helicopter and land in the same damn spot no matter how long I hover? Because the earth don't move, just like the Bible says. Wake up, Christians. Have discernment. You got to know that NASA is evil. That's why when you take N-A-S-A and add a T, it can spell the word Satan. Okay, that's why the NASA's...
I thought he was going to say NASA's Hebrew for to deceive, which it's not. The word is Nashaw. But, yeah. You know what else does that? Santa. Wait a minute. Christmas is children getting presents. But those children don't have jobs. They didn't earn any income. They did no labor, but they're getting free things. That's communism. Santa, rearrange the letters, that's Satan. Communism is atheistic, is Satan, is Santa Claus. Fucking idiot.
This logo is a serpent's tongue. No, okay, because NASA is of the devil, and Christians, you got to have Holy Spirit. You got to have discernment. You got to know who the enemy is. And if you're sitting up here laughing at me because I'm telling you the truth, you're the problem. Christians should all know that NASA is full of shit. Every single Christian on this planet should be able to denounce NASA in the name of Jesus Christ. And if they can't, then they've been tricked by the enemy. And I'm not saying you...
Or maybe, Bryce, was that his name? I don't even remember. Maybe you should just try to think for 5 consecutive seconds.
Lose your salvation. But when we get to heaven, you ain't going to be laughing at me, buddy. I'm going to be laughing at you. Okay? Because I'm telling you right now that NASA's all lying. They're just trying to get you to where you don't believe in God. And that's why the lie of the round earth, the spinning earth, the earth that orbits the sun, that's where it comes into play.
Don't they tell us that Wernher von Braun has a flat earth Bible verse on his tombstone? So he knew the earth was flat and he worked for NASA. So how are they trying to deceive us away from it when they're the ones that actually believe it?
Clip for you. Tell me what you think about this clip.
That's a serpent's tongue right there.
Flat earth theory in the last few days because of rapper B.O.B. and his beef with noted astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. B.O.B. declared to his Twitter followers that he believes the planet Earth is actually flat and that all the nations of the world have joined together in a massive conspiracy to cover up this fact. Here is how flat earthers believe the universe works. They believe the Earth is a flat disc.
Oh, you know what? I got to go to that
conspiracy
picture quick.
To cover up this fact. Here is how flat...
So, first of all, once again... Patrick knows nothing, and he can't, like, he knows a lot about certain things, I'm certain of that, but he doesn't seem to be very much of a well-rounded person. Like, the idea that he has to go to this just completely stupid video to try to make a point, because he can't argue with anything Bryce is saying, is sad. But this picture, I first saw this picture in a National Geographic article. It was almost like 10 years ago, and it's a flat earth map, and it's so depressing. I don't know if you'll be able to see, but it says Hot Springs, South Dakota, right there. That's where I was born, and when I saw this like 10 years ago, I just remember being so upset about that. I lived in Hot Springs for 1 year after my birth, so it's not, I don't like... It doesn't really mean anything to me, but it still made me sad. So just a fun fact.
Flat earthers believe the universe works. They believe the Earth is a flat disk, which looks like this. The North Pole is at the center, with Antarctica forming an ice wall around the outer edges of the disk. This is why flat earthers believe the 1961 Antarctic Treaty was agreed upon by all the world's nations.
That's right.
So no one could reach the edge of the disk. They believe that this is the reason that the Earth uses this as their symbol. There's also a dome-like barrier called the firmament, which surrounds the disk. This is an impenetrable barrier that keeps the atmosphere intact. Flat earthers do not believe we have ever passed this barrier. According to flat earth theory, gravity does not exist. Instead, they believe in the
What is this video supposed to prove flat earth
universal
wrong?
Acceleration, believing that all celestial bodies are accelerating upward at a rate of
yeah, again, that can't be the reason that anything falls down, because it takes less than a year. If you accelerate upward at the same rate of the gravitational, this is Kitty Cat Peterson is here if you guys couldn't tell, it takes less than 1 year for that accumulated acceleration to exceed the speed of light. So, obviously impossible.
9.8 meters per second squared.
I don't believe that.
They also believe that Earth is not actually spinning, and provide counter evidence to disprove the rotation of the planet, such as the fact that clouds in the atmosphere are not moving at the rate of 1,000 miles per hour, the rate of the Earth's rotation. Flat earthers believe that when Copernicus theorized that the Earth moved around the sun, all of the world's religions decided to accept his theories, and rather than risk being questioned, the world's religions have a vested interest in furthering the Earth globe idea. In turn, flat earthers believe that all imagery from the space program has been faked. Some of the most common pieces of evidence are the lack of direct commercial flights between two cities.
Where's the stars?
Unfortunately, and we are talking to you, B.O.B., all of these theories don't explain why a ship disappears over the horizon bottom first.
A ship? I can debunk that, too. I can debunk that, too. Look, a ship don't disappear over the horizon bottom first. That's
yes,
a 100% complete lie from Satan, and you can prove that with the Nikon P1000. You can take...
He said it.
A ship that has vanished on the ocean. Take a P1000, a camera that Nikon sells, and zoom in on that ship and completely see the whole body of the ship. Once
no, you can't.
It's out of range of visibility from the eye. So I can tell you right now that's a lie. If you think, oh, well, when a ship...
Then how come telescopes can't zoom in? Take a P1000, zoom it in on a ship that you can't see with the naked eye, but then keep watching it until it disappears from sight from the Nikon, and then look through a telescope with greater magnification, and you can't see the ship anymore. So,
goes out in the ocean, it disappears bottom first. No, it don't. Use a P1000 and zoom in on it. You'll be able to see a ship that's not visible with the naked eye.
That's just angry. If I zoom in on a book from the other side of the house, I could theoretically read the pages too. That just tells you about the limits of the eye.
Another thing that they was mentioning in there, there's so many things I have. Okay, for example, the picture of NASA with the moon landing. Where's all the stars in the background? You know, it's this simple. They can't find
it. You have to have longer exposure. It's daytime on the moon. Here on Earth, the atmosphere absorbs a lot of light, and so that's a big part of the shielding of the stars. But the intense light coming from reflecting off the ground plays a part in that too. And on the moon, that was a big part of it. It wasn't nighttime on the moon where they were at, but there's also a lot of intense reflection off the ground that's going to wash out tiny little points of light. But also, like... We went there in the 60s and 70s. Take a camera from that era and point it at the sky here on Earth at night and take a quick snapshot. You're probably not going to see any stars in that picture either because of it's not going to capture objects that are that small and emitting such low levels of light. I remember like being in college trying to take pictures of like, for example, well, like of the moon with my cell phone, and you couldn't see any stars in the picture. And that's with a camera that was built only like 10 years ago.
Fake the constellations. Okay, they cannot fake them. So they just chose rather just black it out and just say, oh yeah, we can't see it because of the sunlight. Here's another thing.
They can fake a moon landing, but not constellations.
Do you see a picture of the Earth from the moon? Do you realize how fake that is? Because do you realize that the Earth is supposedly 6 times bigger than the moon, which in reality, it's a lot bigger than that. The Earth is huge and the moon's very small. But if you believe NASA, the picture of the Earth from the moon should be huge.
No, because it's a quarter of a million miles away.
Do you see what I'm saying? Look at the picture that NASA's... Look at that. Do you think that that's what the Earth would look like from the moon?
Take a picture of the moon from Earth with that exact same camera and compare the size. The moon is so much smaller than you think it is. It's about the size of an aspirin tablet if you hold it out at arm's length. It only makes up about 1 degree of, I don't know what you call that, 1 degree of arc or something like that.
Do you think that that's a real picture? You have to have discernment. When somebody's lying... To this degree, they have an evil cause. There was one more thing I really want to bring up with this Earth spinning and the stars. For example, okay, here's another perfect example. I can prove to you that the Earth don't rotate. Did you know that the pyramids, the 3 pyramids over there, I believe it's in Giza, the Great Pyramids, they're in line with Orion's belt.
No, they're not.
I believe it is. The 3 stars that they're in line with, I believe, is Orion's belt. Now, I might be wrong, but...
You are. So, first of all, this statement doesn't even mean anything. You can look this up. You take 3 stars that don't form a perfect line. It's an off-center line. Even if they built the pyramids to reflect the not-quite-perfect straight line, that is the biggest so what I've ever heard. A toddler could look at 3 dots, 3 dots in the sky, and put 3 Lego blocks on the ground in about the same shape. That proves absolutely nothing. And then this thing about them, that's... again, I don't even know what they mean by align with, and neither do they, because I ask them this and they can never elaborate on it. But they're also not in the same orientation. It's mirrored or something on the ground, I believe. If the argument is the pyramids, like you can from a distance look at the pyramids and you can see the tops of the pyramids align with Orion's belt, that will happen for anything on the surface of Earth, because the Earth, even if geocentrism was true, this would still be the case, because that night sky goes around, but that night sky also changes. We say because of Earth's tilt, you guys say because of, I don't know what your reason is, but it doesn't even matter, because this isn't anything special. At some point, it's going to rotate into position, and you can stand literally anywhere. If I stand here, then it's going to line up on this day at that time, because it's rotating and the tilt is changing. Or if I go over here and stand in this position, it will, at a different time of night and on a different day, line up. This isn't anything special. This is just the equivalent of saying, from this place in my yard, I can see the sun. Wow.
My point is, they're perfectly in line with three stars. Not. They always have been. They always will be. Now, do you
Yeah. So this picture right here shows that it doesn't line up, like, at all.
We think the universe is expanding, the Earth is spinning.
Yep.
And then we're orbiting the sun while spinning, and yep. then our galaxy is traveling away from other galaxies. Yep. Guys, those stars have been perfectly aligned with those pyramids because the Earth don't move. You got to get that in your head. You got to know why they're lying. That's more important. I can sit here and tell you all day about, you know, how they're lying, what tactics they're using, but when you understand why they're lying, then the enemy is exposed. They are lying so you don't accept the Bible, because the Bible says the earth shall not be moved. The Bible says that the sun and the moon and the stars were made. It doesn't say that the sun is a star and that the stars are a sun. It differentiates. And I'm telling you, the Bible is the oldest flat earth document that there ever was. And so they want people to not believe the Bible.
So, okay, on the moon landing, we had, who's the guy that we had on, Rob, on the moon landing stuff? Got a guy on. He's the guy that got punched in the face.
Bart Sabrell?
Bart Sabrell, yes. Have you ever heard of Bart?
They had that guy on this show?
Or Bart Sabrell or not?
Was it Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin?
Yes,
him?
Yes. Yeah,
because he won't put his hand on that Bible.
That's right.
And swear on the word of God that he went to the moon, because Buzz Aldrin knows that he's lying. And Buzz Aldrin lies to kids. He's a coward. You know, Neil Armstrong, or Lance Armstrong, whoever.
Not Lance Armstrong, because Lance Armstrong.
That was the Tour de France guy.
He's a Tour de France guy. He just got him off. Lance. We're not saying.
Wait, I thought he was the trumpet player.
You landed on the moon or not. You're safe.
Yeah, you're safe, brother.
Yeah. By the way, Bryce Mitchell is officially on Manet.
Oh, I guess that's the end. So yeah, Patrick meets his equal, I guess. I hated every second of that, but at least it was funny. I'll see you guys tomorrow.